week's episode is brought to you by Breathe, starring Andrew Garfield. Critics declare Andrew Garfield is remarkable and can't be praised enough for his performance as real-life disability advocate Robin Cavendish. Learn more about this remarkable story and Andrew Garfield's performance at BleecherStreetGuilds.com.
Welcome to the Bart Fleming Podcast. This is Peter Bart.
And Mike Fleming.
So Mike, discussing award shows, Woody Allen once said to me that there should never be a one best picture. There should be a list of best pictures, perhaps 10 or even 20. But of course, Woody is not the ideal candidate to make these observations because his latest movie, Wonder Wheel, is by general consensus his worst in years, if not his worst ever. Still, the critics groups are coming out with their supposed best pictures. Every week we get one or two. And it's interesting because there's no single runaway again. There's nothing back that harks back to the days of Titanic or Forrest Gump. And if you consider the Oscar winners in recent years, I would imagine the margin of victory must have been very slim with films like Birdman, 12 Years, A Slave, or even Moonlight. I mean, none really had widespread acclaim of the sort that, like this year, Warner Brothers tried to build for Dunkirk, although I'm not sure they're building that consensus as yet. How do you read it?
Well, I think it's a little like last year. I mean, there was no real consensus runaway Hollywood blockbuster, which is pretty much the kind of pictures that you mentioned, that when there have been years where somebody, jumped out and it was just a matter of waiting for the trophy to be awarded. I think that this is actually a good thing for the prestige film business because everybody has a shot. I mean, the movie I, Tonya could squeak in some categories. I thought that was a real sleeper. That was a fun film. I just saw Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, and Frances McDormand's performance is just overwhelmingly good. And I saw Guillermo del Toro's The Shape of Water, and wow, what a terrific movie. And so sometimes when there isn't a prohibitive favorite or some giant blockbuster where it's like, get out of the way, I think it's actually better. It's more preferable.
It's interesting that the critics groups are putting their support behind two coming-of-age pictures, coincidentally. I mean, there's Lady Bird, which is a very well-crafted coming-of-age story directed by Greta Gerwig, and Call Me By Your Name, which is another coming-of-age story with a gay twist, directed by the Italian filmmaker Luca Guadagnino. So these pictures, once again, are not going to be seen by a big mainstream audience, but they're damn good films.
Well, yeah, and remember, now the Post is just beginning to be screened, the Steven Spielberg movie about the Washington Post role in the revelation of the Pentagon Papers. We still haven't really seen Paul Thomas Anderson and Daniel Day-Lewis's latest collaboration, Phantom Thread, which has the added a novelty of being the last film that Daniel Day-Lewis will star in his career. So he says right now, that's how he feels about it. So those are two big ones that still have to factor in. And today, just now the Hollywood Foreign Press Association is seeing the new cut of Ridley Scott's All the Money in the World about the Getty kidnapping. So there are still a couple of films that are kind of latecomers to the race, and that might even create a little bit of problems for them gaining footing. But I don't. I think there's a couple of more movies that will have to be considered.
Well, it's interesting that the studios again have been sidelined in recent years, the majors, but they're making an effort this year to wedge their way into things. The Post, as you said, is a Fox picture, and and Dunkirk is Warner Brothers, and of course, Wonder Woman. There was also a sort of quiet campaign to get some recognition for that, just to acknowledge the progress that that women have made as film directors. And of course, the newcomers to the business, Amazon and Netflix, are trying to nose into this race. The Big Sick from Amazon and Mudbound from Netflix. It's a very interesting picture that there's not many great black-themed pictures this year. Mudbound from Netflix is a damn good movie. And interesting to see whether they manage to wedge their way into the awards scene.
I think we've all been a little bit distracted with the ongoing sex harassment scandals, and I do think that it has taken a bit of the focus off the Oscars. And so we've got, 2 weeks before the holidays start? And then I think people will catch up with all these movies, and hopefully they'll be they'll have a much clearer sense as to what deserves nominations. And I think we're scattered around a little bit compared to the way it usually is, and understandably so.
Well, the New York Times ran a headline suggesting that the Academy Awards race, in particular, was somehow tainted, that's the word that they use, tainted this year. Tainted because of these scandals, tainted because I suppose that Harvey Weinstein, who is now the disgraced Harvey Weinstein, he was the main propellant behind a more dynamic Oscar competition. So obviously,
can I just call bullcrap on that? I just think that's a headline. I mean, Harvey Weinstein wasn't going to be a factor in this year's race, no matter what. I mean, Harvey Weinstein's contribution to a permanent change in Hollywood this year is indelible, and it's all at his expense, and it seems to be well-deserved. But I don't think at all that Harvey Weinstein has, or that this Oscar season should be tainted. I mean, there are good movies that will have to be considered on their merits, and there are a couple of heroic things that happened. I mean, you know, the makers of the movie Wind River, by stripping all ties to the Weinstein Company and getting them to agree to not send any future revenues to the Weinstein Company, I thought that was kind of neat. And Ridley Scott and Dan Friedkin basically deciding they were going to pay the money and eradicate Kevin Spacey from this film, I thought was very gutsy, and I think their hearts were in the right place. So I think there are still films and artistry to be admired during this season. So I think the New York Times is just, it's a bit lazy to me.
Yeah, I think we agree on that.
This week's episode is also brought to you by The Man Who Invented Christmas, for your consideration in all categories, including Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor. Forbes declares Christopher Plummer brings so much gravitas to the role that he could well go down in film history as the definitive Scrooge. And the Washington Post raves Dan Stevens inhabits the character of Charles Dickens beautifully. This holiday and award season, learn more about these remarkable performances at BleecherStreetGuilds.com.
So, switching subjects, there's interesting negotiations taking place behind the scene, even now, where Disney is attempting to acquire some of the key film and TV assets from Rupert Murdoch and his Fox empire. And if, of course, Disney really did win, that company's presence would dominate the pop culture scene as no company has done since the glory days of MGM. I mean, sure, Comcast is still around. They own NBC and Universal and, of course, Time Warner. But Viacom and Sony seem a little pallid in terms of the majors. But Disney, of course, is already a huge presence in theme parks and cruise ships and sports broadcasting with ESPN. It's still a massive presence. But if it got even bigger, if it gained further scale, as Wall Street loves to say, to meet the competition of Netflix and Amazon and Apple, would this be good for the consumer and for the filmmaker?
If you want to just, first of all, talk about what could change if this actually happens. And it has not happened yet, and it's and it's unclear as to whether they will actually be able to pull it off. But basically, that would give Disney 4 Avatar sequels, and Avatar was the highest grossing film of all time. It would give them the X-Men universe, which has a ton of characters, and Fox is already engaged in making a whole bunch of spin-offs with stars like Channing Tatum and James Franco. And then you have the Fantastic Four, which is just ripe to be recreated. There's just hundreds of characters there to be considered, and that's just 2 franchises. So if you think about it, Disney already owns the release calendar with its Star Wars movies and its Marvel movies and its Pixar movies. They basically say, look out, everyone else. We're putting these films on that date, and everyone else has to move around away from them and counter-program to them for the most part. And so now you're talking about adding even more seismic franchises. I mean, that would be unprecedented. And also, if you think about it, let's say we load the Fox programming, both in film and television, under Disney's already formidable output, it seems to me that Disney will probably redefine what a major studio could be. And a lot of this would be geared to their own streaming service that I think, from a quality standpoint, we'll see how Netflix does with its original productions, but I think it would kind of blow them out of the water. And so Disney would be able to decide, okay, this is going to be a theatrical feature, and okay, this is going to be on our streaming site. Imagine how much people would pay on a monthly basis to get original content that is high quality and that is tied to existing brands. And then also just to have access to the libraries of 2 studios and all the film and television. I mean, this would be something incredible. However, contraction.
I think you make a very good point. Yeah, but you know, a lot of young people around today don't remember that Disney really is sort of a latecomer to the race. I mean, as recently as the 80s, Disney was stuck in the mud because it was run by heirs of old Walt Disney, and the company just wasn't an important presence. And in 1984, Michael Eisner and Frank Wells led a palace coup that basically took the company over. You remember in 1994, only 10 years later, Frank Wells was killed in a helicopter accident. And Michael Eisner developed health problems. And as you remember, Mike, there was this incredible lawsuit where Jeffrey Katzenberg won a $270 million lawsuit because he claimed that he should have been named the next president of Disney. And instead, in came Michael Ovitz, a talent agent, who was demonstrating no talents at all as a management person. But Disney was struggling until again, Bob Iger came along. And Iger, as you remember, you and I recall that he was dismissed. He was just a TV guy, had no film experience. He was the president of ABC, which had been acquired by Disney. But when Iger took over, most of us said, well, he's a nice guy, but he doesn't have any background in the film business. He's not going to pull this thing together.
You know, Iger did 2 things that anyone else could have done if they'd been as forward-thinking as he and the people around him were. You know, that by buying Lucasfilm and by buying Marvel, now those were big expenditures, and you know, but if you look now at how much bandwidth they have on just every possible platform, and if you were to add Fox to that, it would be just something to behold. But of course, you could have antitrust concerns, and there will be some fallout. Clearly, you know, because Fox has, on the movie side, Fox has multiple divisions. They have the Fox proper, and they have Fox Searchlight, and they have Fox 2000, and they have Fox Animation. So what happens to all those things? Disney already has an animation, or is already up to its eyeballs in animation. So there will be a lot of pieces, and maybe some of these studios like Sony and Paramount, which are looking for a foothold and a way to improve and catch up, you know, maybe some of those things would fall to them. But it's I don't think the town is looking at this with rabid excitement, because anytime you were, let's say, for instance, if you were to take a major studio and marginalize it, especially one that has been as vibrant and successful as Fox, it's always going to bring big concerns. What happens to the executive team? I mean, we had all been hearing these rumors that were completely denied about Stacey Snyder maybe being interested in Amazon. And but if something like this happened, I suppose anything can happen. This just goes along with this year, which is basically we've seen a lot of people. Things happen to a lot of people that we never thought would be possible. It just sort of seems in keeping with the year. But from what I'm hearing, this could be something that that happens before the business adjourns for the holidays.
And talk about changes. You know, as strong as Disney is, all of us tend to forget that there are parts of Disney that are ailing as well. I mean, ESPN once reached 100 million homes, and now it's down into the mid-80s. Their operating income of just the Disney media network was down about 15%. And it's been down, I think, six quarters in a row. I mean, ESPN has been laying people off, and they too, of course, are looking to bring in streaming services that would help revive its numbers. But as strong as Disney is, there are even parts of that company that I'm sure give Bob Iger some serious headaches.
Yeah, but this has to do with the cord cutting and companies having to deal with the fast changing realities of this digital world. I think if you ask most people if they thought that ESPN was an ailing brand, they probably would roll their eyes. But I do think that it isn't the growth juggernaut that it had been in the past. But it's still it's still one of the most recognizable brands in the media industry, and they're just trying to figure out how that company morphs into its next iteration. I wouldn't worry about ESPN so much.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But there's always a little band of Disney haters as well, including many kids who look at the rising prices and ever-growing lines at Disney theme parks and say, my God, how far up can up go? Anyway, it's good to talk to you about all this, Mike, and we'll see how it works out.
All right.